Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And let's pray this morning. Father, we do pray that as we open your word together, Lord, that you would be teaching us, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in each of our lives, guiding us in your truth. Father, I pray that as we open your word, that it would be a time that we can draw closer to you, Father, and that we can learn more about who you are and the plans that you have, Father, for the people of Israel, but for our lives as well today. And Lord, I pray that our time together again would just continue to be a time of worship, a time of honoring you and coming before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. All right. It is good to be with you this morning. As the bulletin says and was mentioned to you, my name is Mark Schmidtke. So it's good to be with you today. It's good to be joining other brothers and sisters in Christ. And doesn't it seem like when we gather together, you meet another fellow believer, it's you feel like you've known them for a long time. There's just this common bond. And it's exciting to be able to do that today as we come to worship with you and to celebrate and, you know, before our Lord Jesus and to worship him as we've done in song and through giving and fellowship and as we'll be opening his word together as well today too. So just want to introduce myself a little bit to you since none of you probably know me. I've met a number of you this morning and I met Pastor Dennis a number of years ago at a pastor's teaching conference at Camp Chaminade, and it's great that you guys have accepted him. I know he's a Yankees fan. Is that true? All right. So it's good that you guys have welcomed him in, though. That's good. That's important. But anyway, we'd kind of go back and forth because it was during the playoffs a few years back when they were playing. So it was good to meet him, and I know, you know, he talks highly about, you know, the fellowship and worship that you guys have together as well, too. So I've served in two free churches, one in Alexandria, Minnesota, and one in Church Plant in Glenwood, Starbuck area of Minnesota. Over this last year, my wife and I have moved up to Thief River Falls. That's where I grew up, and my parents are living there. And part of the reason for the move there is, my parents are aging. My mom has Alzheimer's and things, and so there's an opportunity for us just to be around for, you know, however long God would have us there, just to be able to support them and walk alongside them too. And so that's kind of brought our move there, but it's good that we're close, and again, just glad that we can be here with you today and worship with you. And again, thank you for the warm welcome that many of you have extended to us, so appreciate that. I also want to just echo the happy Father's Day to all of the dads, grandpas, uncles, you know, that are in our lives, and we just really do wish you just a happy Father's Day, and we're just so thankful for the impact that men have had in our lives, a father, grandfather, uncle, a father figure, maybe, as well, the impact that they've had in our lives, just helping to lead us towards the Lord, helping to point us in His Word and things too. And so I'd just like to take a moment and just to pray a prayer of thanks for our fathers, grandfathers, uncles, just the men in our midst here today. So, and then, so if you're sitting, if your kids are kids, if your dad's near you, just kind of grab their hand, would you, or wives or spouses, and let's just pray for our men in our life today. Father, we do thank you for fathers. Lord, we praise you for them, the role that you've given to each of us as men. Lord, we know that we can't do that in our own strength, but Lord, we thank you for the strength that you give to us. And Lord, the impact that fathers or grandfathers or father figures even, Lord, uncles, Lord, have had in our life, we thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray your blessing over the men in our midst today, Father, that you would encourage them, that you would build them up, Father. And we, again, we just thank you for them. Lord, thank you for being our heavenly Father as well and just guiding us each step of the way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sometimes I walk around a little bit when I'm preaching, so I'll try not to. So if I trip, just I'll be okay. Don't worry. We'll be all right with that. So, well, hopefully you still have your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to take some time as we look at that passage this morning. And we're going to look at the call that God put on the life of Joshua in this chapter. Now, the first verses that we read, the first verses of this chapter are at times they're referred to the commission that Joshua was given or Joshua's charge that God had given to him or his call. And as we look at this passage, we're going to be talking about the strength and the courage that it really did take to carry this call out, to carry out this commission that God had given to Joshua. And also, we want to apply that to our own lives as well. And, you know, we're going to take some time to talk about the strength and the courage that we all need as followers of Jesus Christ to carry out the mission or the commission, to carry out the call that He's put on each of our lives as well, both as individuals, you know, as fathers, as mothers, as, you know, children. You know, what God has called us to, the relationships that He's called us to, the way that He's called us to live for Him. And we also want to talk about the strength and courage that we need from the Lord to carry out what He's called the church to do as well, the body of believers. And I was looking at your mission statement earlier this week online, but on the front of your bulletin, and really it's based off of the Great Commission. But we need God's strength as we carry out the commission that He's given us. And you have it written down as we exist in order to develop champions of Christ who strengthen each other, celebrate the relationship we have in Christ, and bring others to know Him. And that's what God has called us to do as a body of believers, as the church. And to carry out that call, we need His strength as well. And we need the courage that He gives us as well. So when we think about that word courage, though, and we heard it a number of times in this passage, when we think about that, there are probably a lot of images that might come to mind, different things that we think of. Maybe we think of people that we know in our lives that, you know, something that they've done that has shown courage, a difficult situation that they've walked through, or a difficult situation that they've maybe faced, and how they continued on, how they stayed focused in the face of, you know, opposition or difficulty in their lives, you know, showing courage in their lives to persevere. Now, all of us could probably think of someone in that way, or people that we know, or within our own family even, possibly. And also, when you think of courage, one of the things that comes to my mind, it wasn't long ago, the movie Courageous was out. I don't know, did a lot of you maybe see that movie, Courageous? And in that movie, There was this group of men that made a commitment to carry out the call that God had given them to be the men that he wanted them to be the fathers and husbands that he had wanted them to be. So the idea was that it took courage and strength to do this. And as it came across in the movie, that there was a dependence on God and his word that guided them, a dependence on God that gave them the strength to do that. But they needed courage to carry out the call that they were given. I looked up the definition also in Webster's dictionary about courage. It says it's a mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So just that, again, we get that picture of just staying focused, of continuing on in whatever that purpose is, that call that we've been given. One Christian writer defines courage as this, and I like this definition. His definition of courage is complete obedience to God in the face of opposition. Complete obedience to God in the face of opposition. Now, certainly, if we read through the book of Joshua, we're going to see that. We're going to see Joshua staying focused on the call that God had given him, staying focused on being obedient to God in the face of all kinds of opposition as well. And I pray that in our lives as well, that God would give us the strength to stay focused on him, to be obedient to him as we seek to follow him in our lives, as we carry out the mission that he's given us in the midst of the opposition that we face every day in our culture and in our society, the opposition that we face to carry out the mission to tell others about the Lord Jesus as well. And I pray God would give us that courage to do that. So in this passage that we're going to look at this morning, or as we've already started to, we see the baton of leadership passed from Moses to Joshua. And so God is now giving Joshua the charge to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. He is being called to lead the people to carry out God's plans, to carry out God's purposes, the plans and purposes that he had for them as the nation of Israel. And to be able to carry out this assignment, God knew, and Joshua knew, that he could not do it on his own strength. But for this assignment, he would need the strength and courage that comes from God leading him in his life. One writer said it like this when he writes about Joshua. He goes, "The assignments that God gives cannot be done in our own strength, but we need to depend on his strength." And I think that's so true, isn't it? The assignments, the call that God's put on our life, we can't do that in our own strength. We need to focus on him and allow him, allow his word to guide us and to give us strength. And if you read through the book of Joshua, you would see, again, the strength and courage that was needed to stay the course. Throughout the book of Joshua, Israel faced opposition from enemies. Israel fought many battles, such as the Battle of Jericho and others, as Joshua led them into the promised land. They faced sin within their own camp that had to be dealt with, that had to be corrected. We see the picture in Joshua, the land being divided up between the tribes of Israel. They faced many setbacks at times, but through it all, we see a strong call for the nation to follow, trust, and to serve God, to obey his word, to worship and honor him, to have that courage in the midst of all these nations around them that didn't follow the Lord, to show their complete obedience to God in the face of opposition. That was the call for Joshua to lead this people and for this people to be obedient to the Father. So God's call to Joshua is to be strong and courageous, to find his strength and courage in the Lord so that he'd be able to carry this out, this commission that was given to him. It took courage for Joshua, and again, it takes courage for us to carry out the things that God has called us to live out our lives according to him, to live out our lives in obedience to him. And again, that definition, to live out our lives in complete obedience in the face of opposition. As individual believers and as a church, again, we need the strength that God's going to give to us, the strength that comes from Him. Because like Joshua, we face enemies. We face Satan that would do anything to distort the gospel message of the Lord Jesus and different things in our culture. And so that message is for us today, just as it was for Joshua when he stood ready to bring the Israelites into the promised land. So let's look at these first four verses. We're going to take a look at three ways that Joshua found courage in his life. The first one is that courage is found in the commission itself. It's found in the call, the purpose that God had called him to. And in these first four verses, I just want to point out a couple of things as we walk through those. The first thing that we see is that God is telling Joshua that Moses has died, that Moses is no longer there to lead the people. If we turn back a few pages, let's do that. Turn back just a couple pages in Deuteronomy 34. There's just a few verses here, so let me just read these verses as well. So Deuteronomy 34 said, "Now Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all of Naphtali and the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, and the Negev and the plain and the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there.' So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows his burial place to this day. Although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor vigor abated. So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." And so there we see Moses did not get to go in the promised land, but he had died. And so this Joshua opens up, you know, kind of this whole same time, and Moses is dead. And a couple of things that we see about Moses, his life, God calls him a servant of God. He's called this, Moses is a servant of God, a description of Moses' life, telling that he was a man that followed God. He was a man that lived for God from his heart and served him to accomplish God's glory and God's purposes. It was a description that God gave to him. He was saying that Moses lived for me and served me. And again, we've talked about this, but we see that Moses has died. The man that God used to lead the people out of Egypt, the man that stood up to Pharaoh, the man that God used to announce the plagues that would be coming, the man that led the people through the Red Sea. He led them through the wilderness over the past 40 years. The Lord used him in terms of letting him know that there was manna, that there was food to eat, the water. Moses led and taught the people in following the ways of the Lord. And all of a sudden, this leader that's been there for all this time is gone. And in verse 2, the Lord tells Joshua this. But as we go on in verse 2, after he tells Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." But then God continues to move on to write to his plans that he was going to carry out. And one of the things that I think we can see there is God's plans were not dependent on Moses. Moses had already served the Lord faithfully through his life. God's plans were not dependent on him. You know, and here it wasn't a time for Joshua to look back and say, you know, "Oh boy, now what are we going to do? You know, I have no clue." That Joshua didn't do that. But as we see, to carry out this call, it's dependent on God. We see the commission now given to Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. He was given this call to carry out, continue to carry out, God's purposes and plans. So even though the leader changed, God's mission, God's purposes and plans stay the same. So even though the leader changed, his plans stay the same. And I think this shows us that the focus is really on God. It's on him and his word and his plans that will be carried out. And so in this setting, you know, you can almost picture Joshua here. He was there with God, probably set apart from the camp, like Moses was when God would speak with Moses, with this mass of people of Israel in the camp nearby. I mean, these hundreds of thousands of people that were nearby. And Joshua, maybe looking across the Jordan River to the promised land, you know, where he had walked 40 years earlier when they spied out the land, and maybe thinking about the time that, you know, the last years when they wandered in the wilderness. So Joshua is hearing from the Lord, you will be the one that will be leading this people into the promised land. This was the land that was first promised to Abraham nearly 500 years previous to that time. The land that God had promised to Israel as a place of rest. The land that God had promised where he would be with them. A place that God would use them to be a witness and a blessing to the nations around them. And this call to lead the people into the land, it wasn't just ownership of some real estate. It wasn't the oceanside view or anything like that. This was to be a land, and it was a land, in which God's promises would be fulfilled. The people of Israel would be a blessing to the nations of the world. A land in which they would live and follow God in their lives. This was a land and a people from which the Savior of the world would come. So God is calling Joshua, lead these people into this land. And God's plans would continue to be opened and revealed. And eventually that the Savior of the world would be born here. That the nations of the earth would be blessed from what happened in this place. Warren Wiersbe, a Bible teacher, he writes this. He said, in Genesis 3:15, God promised to send a Savior to the world. And the first step in fulfilling of that promise was the call of Abraham. Beginning with Genesis 12, the Old Testament record focuses on the Jews and the land of Israel. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees to go to that new land. And there Isaac and Jacob were born. God announced the Redeemer would come from the tribe of Judah and the family of David. He would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem and one day die for the sins of the world and be raised again. All these events in the story of redemption would take place in the land of Israel, the land that Joshua was called to conquer and claim. The land that was leading that he was leading the people into was much more than just real estate, but it was a land of promise, a land of hope. And I mean, this was a big deal. I mean, as God was leading them, you know, and that hope, this land of promise and hope, that extends to each of us today through the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. To that gospel message that each one of us needs, knowing that on our own we cannot be saved, knowing that on our own we fall short of reaching God's righteousness. We fall short of that. And he sent Jesus to be born in that land, in Bethlehem, to live that perfect life and to take our sins on himself and to die on the cross in our place. So that if we come to him and ask forgiveness of our sins, repent of our sins, and ask him to be our Savior, he will do that. He will come into our lives and cleanse us from our sins and make us part of his family. And Joshua is leading this people into this land so that these things could take place. Joshua had been given a clear assignment from God on which he could draw strength and courage, knowing what God had called him to do. In writing about Joshua, A Bible writer, Crawford Loritz is his name. He says this, courage rests on a clear assignment from God. It's foolish to talk about courage apart from something that needs to be done. The assignment gives context to courage. Again, we are courageous for something. Courage is only required when we are charged to do something in the face of opposition or threat. No matter what is thrown at us, we have to do what God has clearly charged us to do. I think that's a great statement, that courage is found in the commission. Courage is found in the call. We know what God's called us to do, and we want to be obedient to that. And so we are going to march forward in carrying that out, no matter what the opposition may be. And again, we can't do that on our own strength. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is a good example of that. He received a clear assignment from the Lord to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And if you follow the story of the Apostle Paul, you can see the opposition that he faced. He was thrown in jail. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was thought for dead at times in his life. But he continued on because God had given him the call to preach the gospel message to the Gentiles. He did not hold back. And as we've talked about earlier, God's given us a call as the church to make disciples. And as your statement says, to develop champions of Christ, strengthening each other, celebrating our relationships together, and telling others about the Lord Jesus. That's making disciples. God's called us to that in his word. And I pray that we can embrace that assignment in obedience the same way that Joshua did. The same way that Paul did in his life. Now, as we move on to verse 5 and our second point here, courage is found in God's promises to be with us. Joshua found courage in God's promises to be with him. So as we look at verse 5, we see another way that Joshua found strength and courage to carry out the call that God had given to him. It was in God's promises. So let's look at verse 5. It says this, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." And then let's look at verse 9 as well, the same idea. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So again, what strength and courage that this would have given to Joshua. As he thought about all the ways in which God was with Moses over the past 40 years, as he said, "Just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you." So as Joshua reflected on that, he would know that God was with Moses, that God led Moses. Joshua had a front row seat as Moses' servant, or as Moses was mentoring him, to see how God was faithful to lead Moses, to lead Israel. So let's think about just some of the things that Joshua had experienced over the past years. I mean, we can't hit all of these things. But as we think about Moses' life, Joshua was there as God delivered Israel from the bondage of slavery to Egypt. Joshua saw these plagues that had happened. He watched as God led the nation and protected them from the armies of Egypt. He saw as God parted the Red Sea and provided a way of escape for them. He ate of God's provisions of manna and the water flowing from the rock. He saw God's glory as God spoke to Moses face to face. He more than likely heard a firsthand account of God's writing of the Ten Commandments. We could go on for more, but again, what confidence and courage that this would give to Joshua, knowing that God was with them as Moses carried out the call. He was able to see that and take heart in that and be strengthened by that. He can move ahead with confidence knowing that God was with him just like he was with Moses. He could persevere when opposition was strong, knowing God was with him. He could continue on even when there were setbacks because he knew God was faithfully leading him. When we look at the Great Commission that Jesus has given to his disciples, and to us today, he also promises to be with us. Matthew 28:20 says, and it just says this, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So just as we're called to carry out that commission that God has given to us to make disciples, we can do that with confidence, knowing that God is faithful, that God is going to be with us. He's going to give us the strength to encourage, to carry out his plans, no matter what opposition that we face as individuals and as a church. One practical application that I think can be encouraging as we look at God's faithfulness in our lives is just to even have a journal or a blank sheet of paper and just to think back in our lives and say, Lord, how have you been faithful in my life? How have you guided me? And maybe that's provision of a job. Maybe that's in your family, just how he's provided your family and the relationships that you have. Maybe he's led you through a difficult time or friends through difficult times. You know, whether it's, maybe it's been through health issues or financial issues or whatever that might be. But if we journal these things, I think that as we look back, we can say, God has been faithful to us, to lead us, to protect us, to guide us in our lives. And that can give us encouragement when we face additional things, when we face other situations or other oppositions that we might face in our life as well. So I'd just encourage you, write those things down. And maybe it's you're writing it about someone else that you've watched them as they've walked through different times in their life. It can be encouraging to us, to give us strength and courage. So when we face that opposition, we know that God's with us. We know that he's going to guide us through. A good friend of Kim and mine, he's from India, and he and his wife and family lived in the United States for a few years. They were attending school, and they've moved back to India now to be missionaries. And they're serving in the northern part of India, going into some of these tribes and villages in India, and allowing God to use them, allowing God to use them to proclaim the gospel. But they face all kinds of opposition in their lives. There's been people that have been killed, pastors that have been tortured and kidnapped all the way through. But it's encouraging to me, as he writes on occasion through email and so on, how God is faithful, how God is faithful to carry out the gospel message, how God is faithful to continue to lead them no matter what the case might be. And how these pastors, they know the call that God's given them, and they continue on to proclaim the gospel message. And for us in the United States, we don't face that. We haven't faced that kind of thing, and I'm thankful for that. But it can be encouraging to us to continue on, to say, Lord, use us here to encourage them to spread that gospel message here, and to trust in you and your faithfulness for leading us, because we know that you're with us. We can rest in God's promises that he's going to be with us and that he's going to give us the strength and courage we need to carry out the call that he's given to each one of us as well. And finally, in this passage, as we come to our closing point here, we see that the strength and courage for Joshua is found in God's word and God's word being in his life. And we see that in verses 6 through 9. So in these verses, Joshua is told three times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous as he leads the people into the land that God had promised them, so that they could be a people, as we talked about earlier, that would be a blessing to the nations of the world, that God was going to use them. And sometimes it's said, you know, when something's in Scripture once, you know, we need to obviously take note of that. When it's twice, it's like we need to take note of that. But here it's three times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Not in his own strength, but in the strength that God gives him. So in these verses, we see that Joshua finds his strength and courage in being obedient to the word of God, allowing God's word to dwell in him, so that it impacts the way he lives, the way he leads the people. And so let's look at these verses, especially verses 7 and 8. It says this, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Now, as we look at the context of this passage, we see that Joshua is called to obey God's word. And the reason for doing so is that he would have success. And I want us to just take a look to not misunderstand success here in this passage and define it by putting it into the world's standards of success. But in this passage, the word success can also mean to act wisely. Obeying God's word will give Joshua wisdom to carry out the call that he's been given. He would have success in carrying out the call to lead the people into the promised land as he was obedient to God and to his word in his life. And then verse 8 goes on to say, this book of the law, the word of God that Moses had written, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So Joshua is to talk about it. He was to communicate it, to teach it. But you shall meditate on it day and night. So Joshua was to think about God's word, to ponder it, to put it in his heart, to reflect on it, to be reminded of it, to meditate on it. An example might have been Joshua just going through and saying, Lord, you promised to be with me as we enter the land. This is the land that you promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's word was to be in his heart and in his mind, not just having knowledge of it, but allowing God's word to dwell in him, to practice it, to be obedient to its truth. And then we see the reason again, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then the result, for then you will make your way prosperous, to make progress, and then you will have success. And again, the same is true for us, to have true success and to prosper, to have wisdom in carrying out the mission that God has given to us as a church today, as believers that are following him. We need to be committed to the word of God. We need to be committed to its truths, to teaching it, to meditating on it, to taking it in into our own lives. We need to be in that abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus through his word and through prayer, getting to know and put that word into our hearts and into our lives as well, so that we can be obedient to God's word, both individually and as a church, as we carry out the call that he's given to us. And so like Joshua, we can find courage in being committed to live obediently to God's word in our lives, knowing that God is with us. So let me just give a couple of application points to close. So each of us has a call as individuals, whether it's a mother, a father, children, the relationships we're in. We're called to live out God's word in our life and to pass it on to others. And as the church, we seek to carry out the mission that God has given to us, that we find in the Great Commission, to make disciples of all the nations, you know, teaching them God's word, to observe God's word in their life. And we need the strength that only God can give us to do that. We need to rest in his strength and trust in him. And to find our courage in the Lord Jesus, because the enemy, Satan, will do whatever he can to slow that down, to stop the advancement of the gospel message of Jesus from going out. But like Joshua, we want to be committed and courageous to be obedient to that call. And this morning, we talked about the hope, that assurance that comes through having a personal relationship with Jesus. And I just pray that every person here this morning would realize that we need a Savior that has come to that point in their lives, that they've turned their life over to the Lord Jesus, asked for forgiveness of their sins, and trusted in him as Savior. And finally, I would just encourage you to continue to be committed to the word. I know as Pastor Dennis teaches and preaches that it's from the word of God. And in our lives, in our daily lives, that we would continue to be committed to the word of God, to grow in that, I call it from a friend of mine, but I call it an abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus. That means that we're drawing from his strength, from his word, and in prayer, and from his truth, and putting that into our lives. And then we'd be committed to grow in that relationship with him. So let's pray together this morning. Father, we do come before you. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would give each one of us the strength and courage that we need to live for you. That you give each one of us the strength and courage to carry out the call that you've given to us in our lives as a father, as a mother, as children. Lord, to live obediently for you. And as a church, Father, to carry out, to make disciples that live for you and to spread the gospel message. So, Lord, we thank you for Joshua, for his courage and leading the people into the land of Israel and the plans that you unfolded there, bringing a Savior into the world, Lord, so that we would be blessed by you because of your love and your forgiveness that you have provided for us through Jesus on the cross. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray that as we sing and as we go some moments from now, that you would just encourage us, that you would strengthen us in our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think the praise team's coming up, worship team. Okay.